I just got to say it like it is. This coming Sunday will be 41 years in the morning service, First Baptist Church, Niles, Illinois, as I announced my call to preach. And it's been a good life, good life. Brother Minnie is here. I've never got to say this, but I've gotten my opportunity. Anybody remember Brother Rader? Passed away in July. Brother Minnie and I was preaching for him one night. Well, it was New Year's Eve service, wasn't it? And I'd already preached, and Brother Rader comes to the pulpit and going to introduce Brother Minnie. He said, "Now we get to hear the oldest preacher here preach." Said, "All the younger preachers is preaching. Brother Minnie is the oldest preacher here." And I stood up, I said, "Thank you, brother, for that comment." Brother Minnie is 4 years younger than me. But it's good. And seriously, I need to ask you this, for you pastors, if you do DVDs or CDs, I need some from you, because what we do, we play them once a month on our radio and television ministry. We have a guest speaker, and you can be our guest speaker if you'll get us a CD or DVD. Brother Bennett sends us some. I get them from here. I get them from Faith Baptist in Paducah. But some of you, I don't get them. So if you do them in your church, send me a few, and I can play them from time to time. That'll help us out. And people in West Virginia know I'm not the only one that believes the truth. That's serious, yeah. They know that because they think everybody is American Baptist or Southern Baptist or No Baptist or whatever. Take your Bibles and turn to Philippians, the fourth chapter, verses 11 through 13. I'm going to read a message from the Apostle Paul. And there's two verses of scripture here that 41 years ago when I was called to preach, my wife and I went home and I sat down at my dining table and I opened my Bible, and there's two verses in this chapter that I underlined. And we have built our ministry around those two verses. One of them I'm going to use for my text today, and the second one that I won't use is verse 19, that my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. All right, verse 11. "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I've learned in whatever state I'm in, or I am, therewith to be content." Somebody said they'd never lived in the state of West Virginia, they couldn't go with that verse. But anyway, notice the word content. "I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things, I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." I want to preach a message today concerning can-do Christianity. Can-do Christianity. I listen to a lot of church members and preachers today, and it don't sound good in the day and age which we live. And I don't think we really have it bad. Nobody's ever burnt my house. I've never been beaten in the public square. But I look in the Bible and they did. I look in Baptist history and they did. I don't starve. I ain't been driven out in a cave and like I read in history and wood poured up on the mouth of the cave and set on fire and smoked to death. We ought to look back. Boy, we live in the worst times that we could ever live in. Did you know we have more opportunity today than any Baptist in history? We have more ways to get the Word of God out than any time in history. And what did Paul say? "I can." And let me throw this in at the beginning. When Paul wrote this, He had this big building, and he had these computers, and he was getting the gospel out over the world, and he had all these radio mics around him, and TV cameras, and the guy from the newspaper come by once a week and picked up his articles. Nobody didn't say amen, did they? No. Paul was in a jailhouse, in a dungeon,
right,
chained to guards every day. Boy, what can I do? Woe is me. But you know what he said? He said, in the palace and all other places, the Word of God's being preached. Folks, the Word of God is not bound. No, those guards had to come in there. What was it? Correct me. Wasn't it 6 hours at a time or something that they came in and had to sit there with him? And he was preaching to them. They go out and preach to others. They bring in some more. He preached to them, and they go out and preach to others. And he said, boy, I can get this done. And you know something? I said, remember that word contentment? Did you know I can and contentment go together? I can. There is no room for complacency in a Baptist church. No room. You know what complacency is? I read that and I put it in there. That means self-satisfied. Can we ever be satisfied when we walk out the door and look around and there's lost people all around us? Can we be satisfied when we see our family lost? Can we be satisfied just with the things just the way they are? Can we be satisfied to keep going back through our old sermon notes and finding sermons? And, well, I haven't preached this one in a few months. I'll preach it. I'll tell you what. I'm a gardener. I love gardening. You know the reason that I love gardening? Fresh vegetables. Always fresh vegetables. And folks, we need some fresh food in our Baptist churches.
Right.
We don't need new truth, but we need some up-to-date messages and lessons in our Bible classes that meet the needs of our people. No room for complacency in our relationship and our commitment to the service of our Savior. And there's no time to give up, nor to give in to apathy. I read that one, so I put it in there. Let me tell you what apathy is. I don't like it. I hate it. And here is apathy. The man didn't stay around long because he got run over too many times in our church and he left. I asked him to lead in prayer one morning. He gets up and he folds his hands and looks up to heaven and says, oh, Lord in heaven, you know that this preacher's going to go out and visit in this community. Lord, you know nobody's going to listen. Lord, you know nobody's going to come to this church. Lord, you know nobody's going to... What's he doing? He's dictating to God. God, don't you dare save anybody here. That'll give us Baptists a bad record. You ever say that? Well, nobody's coming. Nobody's going to come. You know what? In the book of Acts, they never preached the truth. Did you know Paul never preached the truth? Did you know Peter never preached the truth on the day of Pentecost? Anybody know that? Did you know that those people that was driven out of Jerusalem never preached the truth? How do I know that? I listen to these preachers saying, if you preach the truth, nobody's going to get saved. If you preach the truth, nobody's going to join the Baptist church. If you preach the truth, people are going to leave your church. Is that right? Am I telling the truth? Well, I tell you, that's apathy. I hate that. Every time I preach, no, people don't get saved every time I preach. But I expect them to. Every time I go out and talk to somebody, do they always get saved and come to church? No. But I expect them to. We do things by faith. We preach by faith. We talk to people about the Lord by faith. And listen, people are not going to break the door of your church down to come in to get saved. In the New Testament, they went out. You ever think of this? They prayed for 10 days, and the Holy Spirit came down. And they went out. And the Lord brought them in. And they baptized. And they baptized. And the Holy Spirit came down. And they went out. And the Lord brought them in. And they baptized. And churches grew and prospered. Paul said, I can. Self-pity. I would like to tell you I've never had self-pity. Can anybody here tell me they never had self-pity? I don't think there's anybody here never had some times of self-pity. But we shouldn't give in to it. I can. Let's talk about Paul the man. And can I say this right up front? All self-made men come to final and swift defeat. I've seen a lot of self-made men. There's a long history in my life, and I look back, and I'm sure you preachers can look back and see these self-made men. But just before they got wound up and got defeated, you know that great fire they was going to build? They was going to set the world on fire. They was going to build churches of hundreds and thousands. They found out the wood was wet and the matches wouldn't work. There's no room for that. Paul wasn't a self-made man. You know, Paul was small in stature. Read the Bible, notice it. He was short on physical strength. He said one place he was led about by a brother. You may know what that means. Come and tell me. I believe it means what he said. He was led about by a brother. He wasn't a gigantic man. You think about that. And you know what he said at one place? 1 Corinthians 15:9, he said, I'm the least of the apostles. Yeah. Then as he served the Lord and the Lord humbled him, in Ephesians 3:8, he said, I'm the least of the saints. And then he goes on in Timothy's, was the last books he wrote, I think, among the last. And he said, the Lord Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I'm chief. That's the kind of man that God can use. That's the kind of man that Paul was. See, Paul believed in and entrusted himself to the whole, complete strength of Christ. He trusted him who hung the stars. And not only did he hang the stars, but he hung on the cross. And that's the one he trusted in. That condescended to come down and to give himself a ransom for his soul. And just like who was it last night? Paul, the murderer, the hater. And look, there was a man. You know, people get the idea that Paul never was preached to. That's not the truth. I guarantee you, from the day that Stephen was stoned to death, that Paul never got that man off of his mind that lay there in the dust and said, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. He never experienced that kind of love. And the Lord saved him. Understand that. I can do all things through him. We need to understand we can only do it through Christ. And we're going to talk about that. See, Paul was bold in his life and in the proclamation of his faith in the Lord Jesus. But you look at his testimony in Corinthians and you learn something. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Now, this will take away your complacency. This will take away your apathy. If you read this and study it, and you realize just how God blessed we are to live in this day and age which we live in, And you know, we're still fighting the devil and demons. I'm not fighting Washington. I'm not fighting Charleston, West Virginia. You're not fighting Washington. Who are we fighting? We're fighting against the devil and the demons. They're behind all that. And we need the victory over that. And we can have the victory. Look at what Paul suffered. Look at what he went through. Look in verse 22. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Well, look at his lineage. Look at his pedigree. Are they ministers of Christ? He said, now I'm speaking as a fool. I'm more. In labors more abundant, stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths off. Are the Jews 5 times received by 40 stripes, save one? Beaten with rods. Shipwrecked. Stoned. Left for dead. On and on and on. Yet he was in prison preaching. He's in prison. He didn't give up. He was writing this letter of encouragement. You know what the book of Philippians is written about? Rejoice. 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 Is that us? We go down to the mall, you know, and somebody wanders by and we trying to talk to them about the Lord and invite them to church or something, and they get a little bit mean with us, and we go home and say, ain't worth it. Why would we do that, anybody? Well, that guy down at the mall, he didn't bash your head in or take you out to public square and have you beat half to death. We can. Paul said we can. He suffered all things for Christ. He was willing to go through everything and anything. And I've never done that. I've gone through some mean times in my personal life. I know what it is to maybe do without a meal or so. But I'll tell you what. We need to get back to looking in the Word of God and looking back at our forefathers that gave us the privilege, opportunity to stand in our pulpits and preach without fear and go out in our communities. We still have the privilege and the liberties to go out in our communities and reach out to people. Amen. Paul the man. Look at the measure of his faith. He said, all things. I can do all things. Paul wasn't self-confident. We've already established that. He wasn't self-reliant. We've already seen that. He said, I can do all things through Christ. He's not speaking for himself. Paul was a selfless confidant. In John 15, we won't take time to look at all these scriptures. We're so familiar. And last night this was read. I think Brother Hamill read that. I'm the vine, you're the branches. You know, I'm in the vine. I'm a branch. I'm in the vine. I'm a believer. I'm a saint of God. And you know, he says, the branch draws strength from the vine. It's rooted and grounded, and it draws its strength from that. And folks, you know, we can accomplish whatever God gives us to accomplish. We can do that. That's what Paul is saying. I'm not too smart, not so good looking, don't have no charisma, but I can do some things. I had a friend one time. He went into a community where there was no church and he went to work. He gave his life to that ministry. And the Lord blessed him. And his brother-in-law was supposed to be a saved man. And he comes along and he looks at all that and he says to him, he said, brother, he said, you know what you've done to yourself? He said, what? He said, well, you can't turn back now. You've gone too far.
Well, bless God, would you want to turn back now, being the pastor of Home Baptist Church and having a good congregation and supporting missionaries and doing ministries? You pastors, do you think sometimes, well, I've gone too far? But that's the way people think. You're in this too deep. You can't turn around and go back. You can't give it up. Just a couple years ago, this man told me, he said he's going to have to retire. He said, "Brother, you're older than me. When are you going to retire?" I said, "Retire? I can't."
Right,
amen. He said, "Why not?" I said, "There's too much to do. There's too many ministries to do. Too many wonderful things and privileges that God has given Landmark Baptist Church, and God placed me there. And I've got an experiment plan. Don't have no retirement plan. I just bought some real estate not long ago. Me and my wife. It's right behind the church I used to pastor in Kentucky. Big enough for 2 grave lots. That's all the real estate we've ever owned. You know why? You say, but I own a house. No, you don't. I'm not denouncing having your house. It's not your home, it's your house. I'm not denouncing that, but it's not your home. My home's in heaven. And the measure of this man, the faith. We can do all things. We can go through all things. We can do all trials that come our way. Everything that Paul suffered. You know what he said in 2 Corinthians 4:17? For our light afflictions. Think of that. Everything he suffered that we talked about in his testimony, he called that light afflictions. And that's, what else did he say? Our light afflictions, which is but for a moment. You think about that. Worketh for us a more exceeding eternal weight of glory. Everything he measured it up in light of eternity. He said they're momentary, they're not things. And you know what else he said in 1 Corinthians 10:13? There hath no temptation, no trial, no testing hath taken you, but such is as common to man. You ever hear preacher get in the pulpit and say, "Now you know that we're going through things and we're suffering through things that nobody in past history has ever suffered through. Boy, we got this alternate lifestyle thing. That's a new thing." Somebody preached about Sodom last night. They had that.
Right.
Didn't have the religion that we've got today, back in those days. Boy, we've got religion. Oh, I got a shot blessing with you. Remember that little brick building right down the road from our house I showed you? It says Kingdom Hall. It's got a big for sale sign in front of it, brother. We pray them out of there. Not me, but God. Getting rid of them. Another one down in Kentucky where Joe Collins preached a couple weeks ago. They take you by and show you that Kingdom Hall. They done sold it, closed it up. But they didn't have that kind of religion. There was a man stood on top of a mountain one day. He wasn't in West Virginia either. He said, "I'm going to preach to you about the unknown God. You've got a shrine out there of the unknown God. I'm going to preach him to you." What about Corinth? Paul went down to Corinth and the Lord spoke to him there and says, "Paul, preach and hold not thy peace. I have much people in this city. Most wicked city in the world. But God's got people where I'm at. I don't know who they are. God's got people here. I don't know who they are." Oh yes, I believe in election. You believe in election. But you know what Spurgeon said? God didn't use yellow paint. He used the gospel. He went over to Thessalonica and preached and established a church. And he says, "I know, brethren, beloved, your election of God." How do you know that? They got saved through the gospel. Knew that, understood that. The measure of his faith.
I can do it. I can get it done. There's no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. Now notice this. Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able. And don't believe that bumper sticker sign says the devil made me do it. No, you did it. I do it. You know why? James tells us why. We're drawn away of our own lust and enticed. When love is disconceived, it brings forth sin. And we're depraved. And we feed the flesh. And God, but with the temptation, make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. I remember this happened a long time ago. I worked in a hardware store in a lumber yard. And this couple was building a house. And I was handling their account. And people like discounts, right? So the husband worked away. He was a construction worker. His wife comes in one morning, hangs around, and says, you need to talk to me. And go out in the back. And I thought she wanted to look at windows or doors or something, so I go out in the warehouse. And she looked at me, and she smiled. She said, do you like women? Looking for a discount. And I said, yes, ma'am, I sure do. I said, in fact, I said, I like women so much that I found the most beautiful one in all the whole world. And I married her, and I'm completely devoted and dedicated to that woman. I really love her. She says, huh? And I said, wait there just a minute. And I went and told my boss, I said, would you go out and talk to Mrs. Howard? He said, I sure will. I figured what's happened. I guess he knew her. That's a little bit crude, but that's the way it goes. And there's other things. Everybody was drinking. Everybody was smoking. You young people go to school. Everybody's doing it. If everybody's doing it, that's a reason not to do it. I can perform all duties. You know, the Bible says, study yourself and self-approve unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You ever notice this, workman? Somebody mentioned this. In Ephesians, turn over there and let me show you something. Now, we like some of this stuff, and I love it. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. I passed it by. Look at verse 10 and 11. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together and want all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth, even in him. In him also we have obtained inheritance, being predestinated. I like that. Earlier on it says we're predestinated unto the adoption of children. Now we can cry, Abba, Father. He saved us by redemption, verse 7. And he sealed us by the Spirit. But here's a different predestination. Being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Then you go to chapter 2, and he quickens us, he makes us alive. And then we have repentance and faith. In verse 8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now notice. For we're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained. That purpose is that we work. The first one, that we be adopted as children. Why? Because he chose to save us in the previous verse before that one. And now we have a purpose now that we're born again in the family of God. What is it? Anybody know what it is? I think I know. If you don't agree with this, that's fine. I think the whole purpose of being saved and the work that we do
He says, on over in Ephesians 3:21, unto him be glory in his church. Amen. What's the purpose of a church? A commission. Carrying out the commission. Preaching the gospel, baptizing the converts, and teaching them. And you know, that's a job that's never done. Never finished. See, we perform this work with a heart of deep compassion toward them that are without. Without saving grace. Without hope. Paul said, I have a great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brother and my kinsmen according to the flesh. Romans 9:23. Look at the compassion that filled this man's heart. The love. The kindness. That drove him on and on and on. Folks, we need to get back to this I can do all things Christianity. We need to get back to being able to weep over saints of God. I love the doctrines of grace, but the doctrines of grace doesn't make us hard-hearted and callous and unloving. He should fill us with love and compassion. Our television ministry is reaching probably right now around 100,000 people, 100,000 people in their homes. Our radio ministry is going over 3 radio stations. Now, don't say that. Don't say he's so proud of himself. No, I'm thankful for that. Because God gave us that ministry. But what I'm asking is, isn't that all in vain if I can't weep over those people and I see those people? Right. And I can't weep over them and love them and care for their souls and look upon them and realize that they're going to hell without Christ? And, oh, I know they're religious. Everybody has a religion. You say, everybody? Yeah. You get up in the morning and watch what I'm telling you. Put your shoes on. That's got to do with religion. I put my right shoe on first every morning. I do that every morning. You know why? I don't know. But that's the way people are with what they do. People are religious by their dead nature. We do things habitually. We're like animals when it comes to that. I'm not saying we're animals. But there's that sacred preeminence that filled his soul that we need. I can overcome corruption. I can overcome evil sensual desires. I can crucify the flesh with its affections and loves. I can mortify the old man with his deeds. I can work and perform in times of poverty, prosperity, and even in perverse circumstances, and experience an abundance of spiritual wealth and blessing. What about the manner in which he can do all things? You know what it says in Philippians 2:13? For it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. In Philippians 1:6 he said, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. See, Paul realized, and we must know, that we operate in the power of the Holy Spirit. God sent the Holy Spirit to empower us, to aid us, assist us, and encourage us in the Word and in the work, then we can get it done. I like this verse of Scripture. Romans 8:11. Remember what that says? If the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead. Isn't that amazing? Could you realize the power that rolled that stone away and raised up Jesus from the dead? Now what did he say after that? Be in you. Folks, do we have anything to keep us from performing our work? Is there anything that we cannot do that God, through the Holy Spirit and his word, leads us to do? He empowers us to do it. How does he empower us? By the third person of Godhead. Now, Let me take you one farther than that. Remember creation? And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. God said, and the Spirit moved, and God said, and the Spirit moved. Did you know creation was brought forth by the help and the aid of the Holy Spirit?
Amen.
God spoke, and the Holy Spirit performed the work. And in our lives, we have the Holy Spirit in us, and God speaks, and we perform the work by faith, and God brings it about. Well, I tell you, I think we can do more. I think we can accomplish more. I think we're blessed to do more. We've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. Perfect love casteth out fear. Romans 5 says, the love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Spirit that's given unto us. So we operate in power, we operate in the Spirit, we operate in love, and we perform. We operate in Holy Spirit power. Paul knew how people were. Paul knew how we would be when we come along. 2 Timothy 1:7. God hath not given us the spirit of fear. I preached on something on radio on a Sunday, and I saw a preacher on Monday, and he says, aren't you afraid to preach what you preached? I said, what? He said, I'd be afraid to preach what you preach publicly. You know what I was preaching on? Sin. I'm preaching on sin. I said, in other words, you wouldn't preach it from your pulpit. Pulpit either. You know why? That's public. And you know why churches are in the shape they're in? We don't proclaim the Word of God with boldness.
Amen.
We're afraid. We're afraid. Oh, there's this big thing going around. Boy, you better watch out. You're going to get your tax exemption taken away from you. They'll never, ever take our tax exemption away from us. From me, Landmark Baptist Church. You know why? All they have to do is call and say, preacher, we're going to threaten you. We're going to take your tax exemption away. You know what I'd say? Watch your mailbox. I'm going to send our tax exemption paperwork back, express mail, so you get it overnight.
Yeah. Amen.
God bless us. You know, we have this thing, we can't operate without that. But if they take your tax exemption away, they can do other things to you.
You're right. That's right.
Well, look at what happened to the church at Jerusalem. You know, God told them to go, and they didn't go. And they might have blamed the government for doing what they did, or somebody else, but you know who did it to them? They did it to themselves. God said go, and they didn't go. But they went, didn't they? They sure did. They were scattered abroad and went everywhere preaching the gospel. Why? They were afraid to do what God said to them. We've not received the spirit of fear, but of power, and listening of love, and I like this, and of a sound mind. You know what a sound mind is? You know what a stable mind is? Philippians chapter 2. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We need to develop a Christ-like mind. We don't need all this worldly wisdom. There's things I don't know. Don't bother me. I can't get in trouble with things I don't know. I get in trouble with things I do know. And you know, we have this idea we need to know everything in the world. I've got a computer, and I'm not opposed to computers. But you know the only thing I found that computer's any benefit for? Things that I can use it for in my ministry. It really helps me in my ministry. It streamlines my ministry and helps me in my ministry, and that's all I use it for. I don't go surfing the web. You know why? When the wind comes and blows your sails out and you're adrift. And then you're going to sink in a storm. That's what a lot of people are doing. I don't have a huckleberry either. Is that what it is, huckleberry? That's a blueberry. I'll have that. I'm like the little boy I saw in the comic strip. Comes around the house shaking himself and says, "Hey, Mom, I found something new about this thing." She said, "What is it?" I said, "Did you know you can make telephone calls on this?" "Did you know?" And I got to quit. "Did you know that people that can't talk are called mute?" Right? "People can't hear are called deaf." That's the way I am. "But did you know we're letting these cell phones and all this other junk is going to make a generation of mute people?" Go to the mall. Watch out. Boy, they're going to run over you. My son's in charge of nursing there. Where he's at? Nursing home. Somebody don't show up, they got replacements, right? Dial up the number. Ring, 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 ring. Won't answer. Pull his cell phone up. Send him a text. 2 seconds later, "What do you need, David? Ain't that dumb? Talking is not dumb, folks. Communicating by voice is not dumb. Lay your cell phone down and try it. I know some of you do that. I know some of you is guilty. You're not going to come and say, 'Thank you for that, preacher.' Lay that cell phone down and that iPad or whatever it is and try speaking. Come and sit down with me sometimes. I'd love to talk. I'd love to talk." And you know, I couldn't ever use that. I've not learned the language. Got that own special language. So you don't have to really talk to talk. You only use 2 or 3 letters of a word. Is that right? Am I right? Anybody listening? Some of you do that? Sure you do. You know, I learned English. And words are spelled out in English. I don't get them right all the time. When I type up a letter or my sermon notes or bulletin on my computer, it's got these prettiest colors on it. Did you ever see that? Did you ever do that? It says correct. What am I saying? Folks, we need to correct ourselves. Get back to basics and say, "Lord, I can do all things by the help of my Savior. I can accomplish things. I can get things done." And Lord bless us, brother. I'm done.